Ordinance is passed.
Thank you.
Carla, could you read the next item?
So we are on the 2 p.m. time certain. That's referred to the Commissioner of Public Works, sorry. The 4:50 and 4:51, 3 p.m. time certain.
Yep. Excuse me, I thought we were going to do the other wastewater treatment plant one first.
Commissioner Fish asked that that be continued to next.
Oh, okay, sorry, I missed that.
Oh, we did? 4:46 is pulled as well? No, 4:48.
We did 4:46, yeah.
Okay.
So I think we're done with the morning, right?
Okay.
Yes, I think we are.
Got it.
4:50, consider the proposal of Greg Winterroud on behalf of Run Our Dream LLC and the recommendation from the hearings officer for conditional approval to change the comprehensive plan map designation from neighborhood commercial and medium density multi-dwelling to urban commercial and zoning map designations from neighborhood commercial 2 and residential 1000 to storefront commercial for property at 2815 Southwest Barber Boulevard, LU16-186417CPZC. And 4:51, amend the comprehensive plan map designation and amend the zoning map for property at 2815 Southwest Barber Boulevard, LU16-186417CPZC.
All right. So the mayor has already read the reminder about council decorum. Can I skip that part?
Yes.
Okay. So first up, the city attorney will make some announcements about today's hearing. Nope.
Okay, it's on. Sorry. This is an evidentiary hearing. This means you may submit new evidence to council in support of your arguments. For a council hearing on a recommendation regarding a comprehensive plan map amendment, testimony will be heard as follows. We begin with a staff report from BDS. And following the staff report, the City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The applicant will go first, and will have 15 minutes to address Council. After the applicant, the Council will hear from individuals or organizations who support the applicant's proposal. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. Next, Council will hear from persons or organizations who oppose the applicant's proposal. Again, each person will have 3 minutes to speak. If there was any testimony in opposition to the applicant's proposal, the applicant will have 5 additional minutes to rebut the testimony given in the opposition to the proposal. The council may then close the hearing and deliberate. As this is a non-emergency ordinance, it will pass to a second reading. The council may make amendments to the ordinance and findings or direct staff to return with amendments. I'd like to announce several guidelines for those who will be addressing City Council today. First, regarding submitting evidence into the record. Any letters or documents you wish to be a part of the record should be given to council clerk after you testify. Similarly, the original or copies of any slides, photographs, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show to council during your testimony should be given to the council clerk to make sure they are part of the record. Testimony must be directed to the approval criteria. Any testimony, arguments, or evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you believe apply to the decision. The BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of their staff report to council. Issues must be raised with specificity. You must raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue. If you don't, you'll be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. Applicants must identify constitutional challenges to conditions of approval. If the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to the proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow counsel to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court. Okay, that's it.
All right. Do any members of the council wish to declare a conflict of interest? No council members have conflicts of interest to declare. Do any members of the council have ex parte contacts to declare or information gathered outside of this hearing to disclose? No council members have ex parte contacts to declare.
Although I will have to say I go past there twice a day on the bus.
I think we can accept that. Have any members of the council made any visits to the site besides Commissioner Fritz driving by twice a day involved in this matter? No? All right. And do the council members have any other matters that need to be discussed before we begin the hearing?
Well, I will note that the Parks Bureau, which I was the commissioner in charge of until a week or so ago, has, of course, been working to improve Dunaway Park immediately adjacent and has concerns about the impact of nearby intensity on the character of the park. So I'm looking forward to hearing about that.
All right. So we'll begin with the staff report, and you have approximately 10 minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Udaly. Good afternoon, Commissioner Fritz and Salzman. I'll try to be brief today. This is a pretty straightforward, non-controversial case. I'm going to go quickly. We can have questions, but I'll race through this. We have a comprehensive plan map and zoning map amendment to upzone the former Metro YMCA, now Under Armour corporate headquarters site, from neighborhood commercial comp plan and CN2 zoning to medium-density multi-dwelling comp plan and R1 zoning, and medium-density multi-dwelling and R1 zoning to an urban commercial CS designation. The changes are necessary to allow an additional story on top of the existing office building. It increases the floor area ratio or density allowed and the maximum height limit through the zone change. The design overlay zone will remain in place. And I'm happy to talk about it, but we're not technically looking at any site-specific changes. They already got their design review approvals. So the site is, this is the current zoning site. It's just directly south of the large Dunaway Park and directly east of the Terwilliger Parkway corridor, also mostly owned by the city. CN2, a little tiny chunk of R1D at the southeast corner, and we have our standard approval criteria in Chapter 810, Section 50 for comp plan amendments, and Chapter 855, Section 50 for zoning map amendments. I do have the whole file with me here today. A proposed zoning just redoes the whole site under CS, storefront commercial zone. This is approximately comparable to the zone that'll be in place next year when the 2018 comp plan goes into effect. They actually get a little bit more FAR in height under the coming zone next year than they're getting under this one. So just a few aerial shots. The site is outlined in red on this slide. You can see the large open spaces and track of Dunaway Park to the north, and of course the Terwilliger Parkway to the west. Just have a couple sites. These were taken back in January, I think. Looking south towards the building, you can see the Terwilliger Parkway looking through Dunaway Park here. Closer up the building, all under construction right now. Another view from the southeast corner at the intersection of Hooker Street and Barber, again under construction. There's some site plans that don't show much because it's just basically what's there today. I'm going to just race through these, a utility plan. A couple images of the recently approved design reviews. This one is the Phase 1 approval, which is underway. This zone change is necessary to move them onto Phase 2. This next slide, which as you can see, I'll go back one, just pops up another floor on the top over most of the building, except for the swimming pool wing at the very south end.
That's interesting that they kept the swimming pool.
Yeah, they're keeping the swimming pool. Athletic company, they got track and athletic stuff. Just briefly on the analysis comp plan amendment, the proposal was found to be supportive of most comprehensive plan goals and policies. We have a no net loss housing criterion that had to be met because there's two dwelling units potential in the R1 zone. Mm-hmm. There's sort of a clunky condition. We don't like to do conditions of approval, but there's a condition of approval on this zone change that they do a covenant to mitigate for those two lost units of housing potential. They've basically got to go out and find a developer who's built a couple units in a commercial zone or an employment zone and get a covenant that says those units will stay residential for 25 years. Lots of units being built out there, but they do have to go find that. I'll just digress real briefly. There's some clunky language in our code, and we spent a lot of time at the hearings officer hearing talking about what's referred to in our code as the housing pool, which was this tool that would help small, nonprofit, sort of low-income, you know, small-scale mom-and-pop type operations mitigate for housing potential in a zone change if they went through these extra hoops. That was never a process set up to actually do that, but the code actually requires that it be sort of a mom-and-pop operation. It's not allowed, even if we had a process to give people units from the pool and make this condition go away, that provision was only intended for these sort of nonprofit, like municipal affordable housing providers, et cetera. The other criteria for the comp plan were met or did not apply on an industrial sanctuary or legislative project. So we have conditions of approval mitigating for those two housing units, and then the comp plan is met. For the zone map amendment, there were some transportation issues. Everything else was straightforward. We have a transportation-related condition of approval. Barbara, as you know, is pretty backed up and tricky at rush hour. It's hard to get either, especially heading towards downtown. It's a parking lot almost way to the Ross Island Bridge. So because of that PM peak hour crunch, they had imposed through a condition of approval a trip cap that basically allows their office proposal to go forward as they want, including the second story, the new top story. But if the site was to be sold and redeveloped as, say, a retail complex or something, which the zone would otherwise allow, that would be limited under this trip cap. You know, it allows basically the whole building to be office, but if they want to redevelop it with retail, basically, or housing, they'd have to come in for another look by transportation. Okay. This is all repeating. So with the transportation-related conditions, the zoning map amendment criteria are met. We did have neighborhood association support. The applicant actually revised their original proposal from CX down to CS in response to the neighborhood. They wanted a little lower height limit and a little less density, so that Under Armour responded and revised their proposal, and therefore they've gotten support from the neighborhood association. And the neighbors are also generally supportive of prior design reviews. A controversial issue had to do, you mentioned the park, was putting parking in the park, and the Parks Bureau backed away from the parking lot, and that seemed to make Terwilliger Plaza people and the neighborhood happy. And that's about all I can remember about the park and details. I'm not going to read through this whole thing. It's a lot of lingo, but it's the HO recommendation to City Council is approval of both the comp plan and zoning map amendments as requested, with the condition A regarding mitigating for those two housing units, and then a long condition B, which basically holds them to this trip cap table if the site is redeveloped with something besides office in the future. And I'll leave it there.
Some questions?
Sure. Questions?
I was very amused to hear you call it a non-controversial application. It's in stark contrast to the other things that have happened on that site. So good.
Yeah.
And when you say the Neighborhood Association, was that the South Portland Neighborhood Association?
Correct.
But you did have input from Terwilliger Plaza as well, or Homestead?
They showed up at the pre-application conference and came in sort of hot and heavy early, but we didn't actually hear a peep from anybody during the zone change. They commented during the design reviews.
Yeah.
But by the time the zone change came later, after the design reviews, we actually didn't get any comments.
And they were okay with the design review?
Yes.
And on that, it looked from the graphic that the third floor is stepped back a little bit. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's pulled back from that outer edge facing Barber in the park, a little terrace. I think there's a partly covered terrace on that top floor.
Yeah, that looks nice. Thank you. And there's just to confirm, there's no changes to the black part that's already up, no logos or anything like that there?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And then my only last question is about the no net loss of housing. Uh-huh. I'm surprised to hear that characterized as you have to go get a covenant for somebody who's building housing anyway, that they're going to keep it as a house. My understanding of that policy when we discussed it was that you would have to actually provide two units somewhere else that weren't currently getting built.
The code has a menu of like six options you can do. One of them is building units off the site, but another one is just getting a covenant on another unit that's built in a zone where it's not required, so a commercial or an employment zone, and you just get a covenant that says it'll stay residential for 25 years. And that's actually the one condition that people have used that we could remember.
I think we ought to look at that in a legislative process.
That's all going away, actually, in the new comp plan. It's a relic of the old comp plan, this housing pool and mitigation thing.
Okay.
Doesn't show up in the new comp plan because we have so much housing capacity.
Perhaps in my next monthly meeting with planning and sustainability, I can go into that more. But thank you very much. That answers all my questions.
So why I'm confused why the no net loss policy applies. I mean, there's no taking of residential units in this.
Potential.
Well, yeah, because these guys are coming in under the old code. If you're going, they have a little corner of R1 down at the southeast corner. That's going to CS. So the code just requires it's like a non-discretion, like a development standard almost. You have to mitigate for the development potential.
So there is a corner of R1.
Yeah, right down at Barber and Hooker at the southeast corner. It's over a driveway right now. It doesn't, there's no housing there. It's a fiction. It's an abstraction, but...
Do your conditions of, or our conditions of approval speak to the crosswalk at Hooker and Crossing
Barber?
It
does not. They didn't, transportation didn't find any additional improvements warranted. There's a signal there. And,
yeah, there's a
but
signal.
It's on-demand signal, I think.
You know, it's not utilized very much, but when it is utilized, it stays, it stops traffic for a long time for one person crossing.
The Hooker pedestrian, when the pedestrians push the button?
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, as that site fills up, it seems like it's going to be a real, you're going to have more people crossing Barber to get to that site. It just seems like it's going to cause more backup of traffic.
I suppose they will be pushing that crosswalk button a little bit more. That didn't come up from transportation. I'm happy to run that or, you know, put that in their ear.
Okay. I guess I should be conducting that conversation with myself.
Well, it may just be a timing thing or something. No.
No. Not right now. You're not.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm not. Yeah, the transportation commissioner.
Save it for later.
I'll get on him.
Thank you. I think we're done with this. Next, we will hear from the appellant.
Applicant.
Well, it says appellant, but applicant. Either way.
Sorry.
It's her fault.
It's my fault. We have the same script for the this kind of review as well as your appeals.
I see. Okay.
So my apologies.
Welcome, applicants. You also have 10 minutes.
Hello, I'm Greg Winterode, the applicant, and with me is Tommy Brooks, who's the land use attorney on this project. My address is 310 Southwest 4th Avenue here in Portland, 97205. And because your staff did such a thorough and excellent job both in advising us in getting through this process and presenting today, we don't have a lot to say. We do agree with both conditions. Commissioner Saltzman is right. It's a kind of a technical issue. We have a toe of land at the base of our property that is zoned residential. We agree with staff that we're obligated to come up with a residential developer in a commercial zone who's willing to have a covenant placed on their property. The good news is we have found such a person, we think. And the other thing is the transportation issue. There was no warrants that justified changing the signal in the process. I will say that Teresa Montalvo, who represented PDOT, was a demanding person to deal with, but fair, thorough, and helpful in getting through this process. So right now, the condition of approval doesn't allow any more traffic-generating development than would be theoretically allowed in the a neighborhood commercial zone. So it's a pretty good trip cap that's been placed, but enough to allow our office development. The other thing is that the Neighborhood Association, Jim Gardner, was also tough and demanding, thorough, and problem solving. So by the end of the day, we were able to address his concerns and those of the Land Use Committee and the Board of the South Portland Neighborhood Association, and we feel good about that. It was a good process going back and forth. The one thing that I think made it most possible, other than my brilliant land use application, was the fact that we had a great design. Bohr Architects were the original designers back in the mid-70s. They did a design that I think complements what was there originally, builds on its almost iconic status as the old YMCA building, which made our job working with the neighborhood very easily. The Design Commission did vote unanimously to approve both of the applications, and a concern that they had was the potential height of the building's height, in relation to the Terwilliger Parkway. And they were quite clear that they wanted to make sure that we didn't infringe on views from the parkway. So that's built into the design review standards the city has, and I think Bohr did a good job of addressing those. So unless you have questions or you'd like to have Tommy address constitutional issues, that's a joke, we'll close our presentation now. Okay.
Colleagues, any questions?
On the issue again, I see in the condition it says submit documentation for property owner permission, restricted covenant at least 25 years for two units at the site of another commercial or employment zone project with non-required housing. So you had to go to somebody who's going to be developing on a site that doesn't require housing and make sure that they're going to put
yes.
two units on it.
Yeah.
And do you pay for that privilege or do they pay you or what?
We are. that's a good question, and we are not sure yet. In fact, the developer called Tommy and I, or emailed yesterday and said, what do you think is a fair price for one of these covenants? And honestly, we don't know because there's an awful lot of units that have been built in commercial zones in Portland recently, all of which would be eligible, and not a whole lot of people requesting the covenants. My sense it's going to be because they are friends, they've known each other for years, that it will be an amicable relation, and I really don't know how much the cost would be. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Tommy, did you want to say anything?
I think he answered it squarely.
All right. Thank you.
So the owner is Run Our Dream LLC?
Yeah, it's Run Our Dream LLC, correct.
That's not Under Armour in another name?
Under Armour will be leasing the building from the owner, yeah.
Okay.
Do we have any supporters of the applicant?
No one signed up.
Okay. Do we have an opponent? All right. Or just general opponents of the applicant?
No one signed up.
No one has any issues with you, apparently. All right. So that means there's no rebuttal. Is there any further council discussion?
I really appreciate how you've taken care of all of the concerns that were front and center a year or so ago, particularly the view from the Twilliger Plaza, which also speaks to my concern about the view from the park.
Yeah, and if I may say so, Commissioner Fritz, about a year ago, April 16th, I believe, I was sitting here looking at you, and you helped inspire us to address that issue.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And it is a lot.
I wonder whether it's worth my time, whether anything I do is effective. So that's very helpful. And also I'm going to say right now that the height you're asking for is what was said when we had the conversation during the comprehensive plan process. My concern in opposing the comprehensive plan designation was that it could be much higher than is now going to be built. So I'm really appreciative that you've stayed true to your words and are doing what you said.
We listen.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we dismissed?
Yes.
Dismissed.
Okay.
So now you can, because it's an evidentiary hearing, close the hearing, close the record, and make a tentative decision, and then direct staff to come back for a final decision since it is a non-emergency ordinance.
Okay. So I'm closing the hearing, and we're making a tentative decision. So does Carla take roll or
I
vote?
Make a motion. I'll move
okay.
it. So I'm going to move to approve the hearings officer's approval with conditions as specified.
Second.
Great.
So that's a tentative decision. And this, do we have a date when you're coming back for a final decision? In 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks, you said?
Okay.
So do we vote on the tentative decision or not?
Yes, you vote on the tentative decision.
All right.
Sorry. We need to give it a time certain for the decision.
You don't need a time certain.
If you want to do 2 weeks, and it'll be May 17th. And okay. The morning, 9:30 a.m. session. Regular agenda.
Great.
You want a roll call?
Take the roll, please.
Saltzman.
Very pleased to approve this zone change, and it looks like a well-thought-out plan, and I'm very happy to see it. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, it's nothing short of astonishing that there's complete agreement on this site. Would not have guessed that over the course of what the previous discussions have been. So thank you very much for listening and for considering the community in which this building is placed, and thanks to the excellent staff work. Does take guidance, especially when it has to go through many different processes, and certainly a comprehensive plan change is significant. So thank you for all your work. Aye.
You, Daly.
I am always pleased when I hear about smooth sailing through design review and permitting processes. It's a lovely design, and I'm happy to vote aye. So what's the official word?
Do we have to vote on this? I think we vote on the second one, or we don't do that till next time.
It's a non-emergency, so we don't do that till the next
time. Don't do
that
anyway.
Correct.
Right.
Lauren, okay.
That makes the second
one. Oh,
meeting.
All right. We're done.
Done. All right.
Yes, Barbara. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Do I gavel meeting? It out?
Yeah.
Sure.
Just drop the mic.
Don't do these often enough to...
No, I think it's the first. It's the